talking about me? I'ma talk about that. This is Candid Christian Combos Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Candid Christian Convos, the podcast. If you're new here, I am your host, Morwa, and I'm here with my younger sister, Farah. This whole season is about us having Candid Christian Convos together.
Yep, that's it. That pretty much sums it up. Hi, okay. Guys. Nice to see you again. If here, I always get confused with these audio things. Nice to be see in you. Your ears mm-hmm. again. And if I'm new, if you're new,
it's nice to be in your ears too. Okay, let's get into it. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about obscurity. Okay, define that for the people who don't have a dictionary.
My working definition of obscurity is like being hidden from just being hidden.
Would you like me to pull up a dictionary?
Let's do that. Let's find the official definition.
I swear there's a dictionary looking up song. Like, let's da 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 da. Or am I tripping?
You're tripping.
Cool. Okay, so do you want obscurity or obscure?
Obscurity.
Okay. Obscurity. Okay. The state of being unknown, inconspicuous, or unimportant.
Wow. That's deep. Okay, so I just meant being hidden. And I think people have used, or I've heard obscurity used to describe, I guess, being unknown, but in the sense of, like, ministry, for instance.
Okay.
Like, before, being hidden. So, using them interchangeably, like, when God hides you so that you are unknown.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So, it's obscure. Does it have negative, positive connotations?
I guess it has negative connotations for people who want to be seen. Because if you want to be unknown, then it's positive. But I think there's often the wrestle internally that, like, again, using ministry as an example, I know my giftings, I know my talents, like, I'm ready for the platform, and then God hides you from said platform. Mm. So that, like, you're unknown. So maybe you're doing a podcast that nobody ever listens to, or, like, you do... I was going to say pro presenter, but media. No shade to the media scene, because we've been on the media
scene. We have been.
But let's say, like, you want a public facing, you know, serving opportunity, and you end up being in, like, a more backstage hidden serving opportunity.
Okay.
So I say this umbrella terminology because I think it can also apply to, like, regular life when you want to be seen. And God wants to hide you.
Okay.
So, this conversation is interesting to me. And I think it will be interesting to a lot of people. Because your experience.
When you told me that you want to talk about this, I'm like, what are you talking about? But let me hear
what I'm talking about. Okay. So, you and a couple of my other friends have, I think even me when I was, like, single, echoed the sentiment of, specifically with regards to dating, in Toronto, and being a Black woman and feeling, like, invisible, right? And being like, I'm beautiful, I'm smart, like, I know I'm a catch, but for some reason, this isn't happening. And then, like, eventually getting to the conclusion of, maybe I'm being hidden. Maybe God is, like, protecting me or, like, preventing me from being in the dating world or, like, being seen by the wrong man because, like, he knows I can't handle heartbreak or whatever the case may be. So that's, I wanted your take on that because for a while that was your struggle, no?
Yeah, it was. What's so funny is that when you were listening, like, I'm pretty, I'm funny, I'm smart, I'm Like, the only plausible explanation for my singleness is God hiding me. Like, that is all it can be, because otherwise, there's a glitch in the simulation. And it's so funny, because my friend coined the term, being spiritually veiled. Like, Christians, and they're Christianese, man. But, yeah, actually, it's annoying, I will admit. Being hidden by God can be annoying, because especially, how old am I, 21? Maybe I'm relatively young, but I just, you see the people around you in love,
you me, I see my break.
Bro, am I, like, there's so many things I've questioned whether I am or I'm not, but it's just, okay, God, like, I think I'm ready, but clearly God doesn't think so. I think that's where the discrepancy in obscurity comes in, where it's my, and I guess it's like a father-daughter relationship is when I think of it like that. And if I'm being honest, I think obscurity also comes with the whole notion of God keeping you from things that you're not ready for. So, you know, have you ever in your life had an experience that you wanted, something you wanted so bad, and then you live life not getting it, whatever, and then you look back and you're like, whoa, thank God that he did not give me this thing, because it would have been bad, for whatever reason. And I think I think of that a lot when it comes to certain people in my life that I liked. If you didn't know this before, I have many, I've had many crushes in my life. Some might even call me to all the boys I've ever loved, whatever her name was. But anyways, I have had some of you that I've liked that didn't like me back. Shocker, I know, guys. Just hold your gas. If you can't see Mara, she's rolling her eyes.
This main character syndrome is strong.
Anyways, in hindsight, I'm like, ew, imagine if I had, okay, God forbid. Anyways, imagine if I'd been like, ew, like, if I'd been with them. But yeah, I'm just, yeah, thankful for obscurity in hindsight. In the moment, and I feel like sometimes you might not even recognize that you're being hidden. It's just maybe it looks like trying at something and seemingly failing at it, but it's God's way of protecting you.
That's good. You said a lot there.
I did.
You did.
I almost didn't know where I was going with it, but...
Well, you landed. That's what matters. You got there. I think the distinction you made between... Or, like, the point you made about obscurity just being paralleled to God keeping you from something that you feel like you're ready for, and it just being a mismatch of timing, like what you perceive to be the right time versus what God perceives to be the right time. I think that is the umbrella idea here, because whether it is ministry or marriage or whatever, it's an impatience ultimately. Like, I feel like I'm ready for this thing now and God doesn't think so. So I think I'll talk about my experience with it. And I think it can be hard when you feel like you are ready. Specifically, I'm talking about ministry. I've had a journey with the Lord where, like, growing up, I was told a lot about, like, oh, like, my gifts were kind of, like, pointed out to me. They're like, oh, you know, I see a leadership anointing on you, or whatever the case may be. And it kind of made me impatient, because I was like, okay, God, you've sent all these people to tell me this stuff. Like, I'm starting to see it myself. So, like, it was like I had a hunger for the a platform that, in hindsight, I don't know, was completely, like, to give God glory. It was just, like, maybe self-glorification. Probably it was more of, like, I wanted the validation. I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be known. And then I heard Chandler Moore say something on, like, one interlude on some Maverick City live album. And he was like, don't despise the days of being hidden, because, like, God is doing something in you in that season to prepare you for the next one.
Yeah.
And I hadn't ever thought about it like that. So I often go back to that whenever I feel impatient with the current season I'm in, or I feel like, oh, I should be further, or I should be this, I should be that. So remembering what you said about, like, a good father, I heard a phrase once that was, a gift given out of season is abuse.
And I thought that was so profound, because if you give a baby a car, what are they going to do? Or like, just say you give an underage teenager a car before they're ready to drive it, and then they end up killing themselves. Like,
whoa,
that's abuse. And a good father won't do that to you.
Yeah.
So how did you navigate those seasons? Like, how did you feel? Did it affect your relationship with God? Like, when you realized the spiritual veil?
Are you going to start a trend here?
Maybe.
Hashtag
spiritual veiling.
Before I answer your question, I was actually going to say, well, you kind of said it already, but just reiterate the whole, like, training ground. It really does feel like you're being prepared, because, I mean, God is wise, God is all-knowing, etc. So, I guess... Yes, he's validated, and
yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, so in the seasons where I have been hidden, I think it's uncomfortable. Being hidden is uncomfortable, and I think it's uncomfortable because we all have the innate desire to want to be seen and appreciated for all that we have, but... I think there's also the temptation to build on ourselves when we're not, when we're being impatient. And I think it's like building your house on sand almost. I think the building on God and his purpose and all those things makes sure it's like a worthy and lasting thing. Because again... this is going to be a recurring theme throughout the season, but the kingdom of God. And I think if we're building out of season, it's like, imagine God has this grand master plan with the blueprints and everything and instructions, and you're going off to the side to build your own little thing. Like, God is God. He's going to scatter it. Like, what do you mean you're building like something off to the side? Are you crazy? So I think, why are you saying what?
Carry on.
Is it not making sense?
It is. I'm just saying, like, is that how God talks to you in your head?
Yeah, actually, I was talking to, I made it to talk today. I was like, imagine if I was God, I'd be so sassy to all of you.
Sassy.
I would, and thank God I'm not God. But anyways, yeah, and I think it's humbling for sure. I don't know how else to describe it. But yeah, how have you felt in this season?
It's definitely humbling. And I think it's telling. It shows me how, like, I could be operating in pride without knowing it.
It reveals a lot about your heart.
It does. It does reveal a lot about your heart and, like, your motive. Like, why do I want this thing so much that, like, when it was, like, a relationship, I was like, okay, so why am I so desperate for this thing? Like, what is it about being seen, being known, being loved that, like, I'm not guessing that, like, is there a void that needs to be filled? Because it does expose, like, where your wounds are, where your unmet needs, unhealed hurts. And with ministry, like, I had to check, like, why do I want this so badly? Like, is it to glorify yourself? Is it to glorify God? And I think, I can't remember, I think it was on the same Chandler Moore thing or somewhere else where the person was like, if, like, the mistakes that you are able to make in the hidden place, like, you wouldn't have been able to make if you were public when you wanted to be public.
That's true, because the internet is
ruthless. It's ruthless, and the internet doesn't forget. So I think about even, like, just, let's use, like, even a singing talent or, like, gift or preaching. Like, there's some... mistakes that you could make when you have maybe only 10 people looking at your videos versus if you made that mistake when 10,000 people were looking at you, they wouldn't be as gracious. So, like, there's a blessing in embracing obscurity and, like, understanding that if God has me here, it's for a reason. And I guess checking with his heart for, like, okay, God, like, what am I supposed to be learning in this time? Like, how can I be sharpening my skills? If in your context, it could be like, okay, what ways do I need to work on myself? Are there, like, childhood wounds that could affect my next relationship if I got into that prematurely? Might I have compromised on, like, my values because I was so hungry for love that I got into that relationship out of time, because maybe in this time I was supposed to be strengthening my why, you know. So like you said, training ground. I had a question for you. Have you ever tried to do something to be seen, like you felt God was hiding you, whether you articulated that or not?
Do you need water?
No, I just, my throat just is a little hoarse.
Are we going with the horse or are we...
No, I've cleared it. I'm good now. Okay. Have you ever tried to, like, you know how you're talking about building your own thing on the side? Like, tried in your own strength to be seen. That could look like, oh, I'm not going on any dates. I'm going to join a dating app.
Are you introducing these points for me? Oh, is that your story?
Oh, you didn't know?
No.
Shocker.
Yeah, guys, I joined Hinge or whatever.
Fight me. Okay. The truth is, it wasn't even out of impatience. It was just out of curiosity. I never joined Hinge. Okay, I downloaded Hinge twice. The first time, yeah, but second time was more so curiosity. And I saw exactly why God has a blueprint that he wants me to stick to. Because I got on that app, and honestly, nothing terrible happened to me, but just dating apps will humble you. And I think once I got cancelled on, like, 5 minutes before I was supposed to go out. Another time, somebody saw my TikTok and just ghosted me. Ooh. Yeah, super embarrassed. But there's context to that anyways. And then, yeah, so it was just a mess, and I just realized that while I didn't get, like, heartbroken or anything, God just showed me, like, the lesson I learned from that is God made my heart in such a particular way. Like, so I'm not saying online dating is bad, though, but for me, me and God have had ongoing conversations about my heart, and so I think even maybe sometimes he will let you be seen so that you see that your plan isn't the best plan. Yeah,
that's good.
I had something I was gonna ask you, but I forgot what it was. Oh, okay, perfect. I remember. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So it was to do with obscurity, and because you're saying maybe you're not ready yet, blah 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 blah. But how do you think it's, I don't know how to phrase my question, but it's around the fact that I think an important question to ask yourself if you're pursuing anything is, even if I didn't say it's ministry, even if I didn't get the numbers, would I still do it? Do you know what I mean? I don't know how that applies to relationships, but
no, I don't think there might be a direct correlation for every point, but that's a good question, and it's one that I have to ask myself to check my motives. Like, am I wanting to do this thing to be obedient, or am I doing this thing for validation? So if I did it and I never got, like, so I think a question I asked myself was, if nobody ever knew my name and I died with nobody ever knowing my name, would I be okay to still do what God is calling me to do?
That is a harsh question to ask yourself. Harsh reality. Because I think sometimes we do things and validation isn't even necessarily self-seeking in an egotistic way, but just in a, I want to know I'm doing the right thing kind of way, or I'm aligned. But God wants to be the only source of your everything. And he wants you to go back to him to be like, okay, well done, you've done what I've said I should do. Because I'm even now thinking, going back to myself, like, certain things that I've done before, and I'm like, oh, okay, have people commented, have people, like, been able to reassure me? But God wants to be our reassurance as well as our reason, as well as our, like, I don't know, he also wants to be everything. So I think it's just, now we're both having very sobering.
it's very sobering. And I think the more public you get, the harder it is to do things for an audience of one, because you have an audience of, like, hundreds of thousands of people. So I feel like part of what, like, the hidden season is good for is, like, training you to only do things for God's validation, training you to hear his voice above the noise, or like so that when the noise is there, like you are able to filter through because you have that like sweat equity in like the training ground of hearing the voice of God. There's this book called Embracing Obscurity, and the author stayed anonymous. Like, it got me thinking so much, and he spoke about how it's true. I assume the tone of voice, though, it kind of sounds quite masculine.
Is it?
Sounds quite.
You're like, just saving yourself.
No, like when I was reading it, it sounded like to me.
Oh, you read it?
I read it.
Okay,
yeah. I didn't finish it.
Okay,
so I haven't finished it.
Well, so far,
it sounds like books I've read by men.
Oh no, I didn't mean the men. Like
So he the person.
It's okay, just he
starts the book by talking about like the human need for validation and like how hard it is for us to do things and not be recognized for doing it. Like, could you do a good deed? Would you be comfortable doing a good deed and like it never being able to be traced back to you? And so this book was the author's way of, well, staying anonymous by writing this book anonymously was the author's way of intentionally fighting against the need for fame and to be known. Cause like if this book does well, it will never be traced back to me because it is published anonymously. And I thought that was so radical. But I think it does bring up a good question of like, where is our validation coming from? I think in a society that's so driven by numbers, like it's easy to think that our value comes from how well something does, like, and it makes sense. Like the whole society is driven by metrics, like at work, your performance evaluation is done by your numbers. Like it's how we assess success in the world, but it's not how we assess success in the kingdom. And so I think it can be hard to feel like if nobody is seeing me, am I successful?
Okay, I have so many things going on in my head right now because, okay, let's shelf the word relationships, but I want to ask your point, see if your point about the success thing is serious question, because like how do you define success in the kingdom is obedience. Have I obeyed? Yes, no. Because one thing my therapist was talking about was at the end of the day, God says well done my good and faithful servant. Not say perfect job, like what God measures things by obedience, literally. So I think it's hard to grapple with, like, what do you mean all I do is obey and just sit and wait type of thing? But that is how it is in the kingdom. But what I was going to say about relationships was when you mentioned that the author said something about how everybody wants to be recognized, it reminded me of how even in relationships we want to be recognized for things that we do. And then it reminded me that Jesus embraced such an obscure life. Like, how many times did you say,
don't tell anyone? Like, go and tell no one.
Yeah, don't. Meanwhile, what the opposites were like, yes, we did this. Okay, this is such an aside, but how do you feel about people recording like videos of them giving food to homeless people, etc.?
Can I come back to that? You said something really important about Jesus telling people not to tell. And I've been thinking about this because where I'm listening in my Bible in a year, they spoke, like, we've gone through some of the miracles Jesus did where he said, go and tell nobody. And I wondered, like, why did Jesus say that knowing that those people were probably still going to say it anyway? Like, Jesus was all knowing, so he knew. And if he didn't want them to tell, he could have made them mute. Like, but he gave them free will. But I was like, why? And you see a transition from him saying, tell no one, to tell someone. So, like, the woman at the well, he did say, you know, you can go and tell everyone you know or whatever. I can't remember the exact.
Did he tell her no?
No, he said, you can go.
No, but did he tell her that?
He didn't, well, maybe he didn't say, but he didn't tell her not to.
Oh, okay. But I distinctly remember there's someone that he healed that he said go
and tell. I don't think you're wrong. I just don't know if that's
Anyway, my point is there was a progression. And I'm asking myself, like, what was that progression? And I think it was his awareness of his father's timing for him to be not obscure, like to be known, to be seen, because being known and being revealed as the savior, everything that he was, God incarnate, was going to lead to his death. And there was a timing under which everything was supposed to happen. So he was totally submitted to the will of God, even down to the timing of his revealing. And I think that's something that if we are like impatient with obscurity, like we're lacking an understanding of, both in relationships, in ministry, whatever, like the awareness that the Father has a perfect timing for my unveiling. And if Jesus could submit to that, Jesus who was equal with God, then he knew something that I don't know about the Father's heart towards me.
Because I'm just thinking, like, is the reward for waiting always
revelation?
No revelation. Is it always numbers? Is it always success? Is it always... Which is why I kind of asked the question about if you never got the response you wanted from people, like, would that be enough to keep you going? Like, is that a guarantee?
No.
I'm so sorry, but you, like, this is so sobering, like, this conversation.
But I think it's an important sobering one to have. Because I even think about, like, a music producer who is just like, oh, like, if I just keep grinding, like, one day I'm going to blow. Like, one day my name will be known. One day I will produce for, like, the top ETC, ETC. I mean, what?
No, carry on.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I mean, that's not the case for everybody who dreams big. Like, they don't always succeed to do it.
They don't, but I'm saying that is everybody's goal. Yeah. Like, how many people are like, oh, one I just want day. To keep producing for the five people who listen to me on SoundCloud? Like... Everybody aspires to, like, when you grow, like, your audience grows. But, like, what if that is not God's desire? What if God's desire is for you to be faithful with the five people forever?
And how do you know if that's God's desire for you to be small? Because I feel like it's just the relationship in our minds. And I don't know if it's a natural relationship or one that was birthed out of, like, the enlightenment, but just the relationship between numbers and impact. And because I think value, like you were saying before, value is intrinsic. Value doesn't change. Your value only is recognized, or you develop your skills, but the value is still there. What was I saying? That was what
you were
about.
You were saying, how do you know whether, like,
oh, yeah, see, so, like, impact and numbers.
Yeah.
So is impact the magnitude, or is impact the multitude?
I think impact is not relevant. And I say this, I say this because I think when, excuse me, when we are doing things with the goal of impact in mind, I think we can be led astray or start doing things based on our own definition of impact.
Yeah, so I think it needs to define what you're talking about impact now.
I'm saying I don't think it matters, because, like, out of my fallen heart, I can think that impact is numbers, because that's what, like, society says impact is. Like, the more people you reach, the more impactful you are. But, like, what if in my own situation that is the case, but in your own situation impact is, like, how well you steward your relationship with your best friend? Like, so I feel like it's less relevant than obedience. Like, leave the impact part to God. So if God says, okay, let's put out this episode today, and we put it out not wondering about impact, like, who is this going to impact, and just focusing on, have we been obedient with what God told us to do? Whether it reaches 10,000 people or 10 people, like, impact is not the goal. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but isn't impact also, like reassuring. So you're saying like it shouldn't be the goal, because you also don't want to do things and it doesn't affect anything. Like, I think we...
But why is that your concern?
Because, like,
okay. God does, like, it's like, I see it as you plant the seed. Mm-hmm. God causes it to grow. He waters it and everything. So, like, if we put, using this podcast as an example, we put out this podcast, but we're not looking to, like, I don't think we should be hoping for, like, the people who will come and be like, oh, this impacted me so much. Mm-hmm. If it comes, that's nice, but I don't think that's the goal.
I don't think it's the goal, but I feel like, and I guess maybe this is where we're talking about how a God needs to be your reassurance. Because I feel like that is reassuring. Like, I don't want to think I'm speaking to a void and wasting my time.
Yeah, but if you're doing it for your audience of one and you get your affirmation and validation from him.
I think it requires faith.
It does. It does require, like, God, I have done what you said I should do. And, like, I'm trusting that you will multiply my fish and my bread and, like, do what you want with it, but I'm not going to check the stats. I'm not going to check the metrics because that's not where my validation should come from. It's hard because I feel like hardwired to look for success in the numbers. But again, if our goal is doing it for the audience of one, that means, like, God, if nobody listens to this.
Jesus.
Nobody listens to
this. That's such a wild thing to come to terms with.
But I think that's how you fight the, like, the hunger for, like, fame. Like, God, whether nobody listens to this or 10,000 people listen to this, like, the fact that I have obeyed you, I can sleep easy.
Why doing it for God at the end of the day? So it's just the fact that even if nobody listens to it, God is listening to it. He's smiling at you. He's proud of you.
He sees the sacrifice. He's like, it's a fragrant offering to him. And I think that's the way we can keep our hearts pure in this rat race for, like,
everybody is a content creator now.
The platform. Like, yeah, everybody wants a platform. Everybody wants, again, I think it comes back down to the validation that you get from the numbers, or, like, having a community or having a fan base. Like, ultimately, we have an innate desire to be seen, known, and loved. And I think the platform gives us an illusion of that. So if you first make sure that those buckets are filled from God, then, like, whether it goes far or it doesn't go far, you're kind of like, okay, well, this is no skin off my teeth. It's not a reflection of me or my worth.
Right.
Because that's what you start to question, like, oh, did I say anything meaningful? Was this not good enough? Was that not good enough? But that shows that there is a direct pipeline that we're forming between, like, the numbers and value.
This is so good. I didn't even know I needed to have this conversation with you. I'm, like, thinking about a lot of things now.
This is a sobering one.
I never expected it. I didn't think it would end like this.
Dang. It's not all giggles over here.
I mean, we did giggle a little bit.
I know, but, like, can you imagine the last episode? But it's okay, you know?
It is.
Waves.
It is. And I think it really helps you cast your eyes on what matters. It helps you to cast your eyes on things that are unseen, as the Bible speaks about, on eternal things.
Oh, and it just reminded me, I think it also helps you in the seasons where you're doing somewhat thankless duties. So, like, as a mom, it's easy to feel like my ministry as a mother is not as important as someone who has, like, a ministry in a church, or, like, I keep using the number 10,000, but literally has, like, lots of subscribers on YouTube. And it comes back to the question of impact. Like, in that season, am I being faithful to what God has called me to do? And it reminds me of the parable of the sower, where, you know the parable, where one person had, like, 5 talents, one had 10, one had, like, 2 talents, I think.
And one of them buried it.
One of them buried it, one, like, and the other two gave a return on their investment of, like, double what they had received. And to all three, that was the verse you were quoting earlier, the rich man came and said, well done, good and faithful servant to the two, even though their return was not equal to the other, it was assessed based on what each one had received. Mm. So the one who got chastised, it wasn't because he brought none in comparison to the ones who brought two or four or whatever. It was in comparison to what he had received. So he received one and brought back just that one. And the other one, I'm forgetting the numbers at this point, but I think it's 2 and 5? So the one who had 2 brought back 4, the one who had 5 brought back 10. But he didn't look at the one who brought back 4 and he didn't say to him, oh, but look at this guy had 10. Like, why didn't you bring back 10? He said, well done, good and faithful servant, because to with what he had been given, he had brought a return on that investment. So I think in every season, it's like asking God, what are you asking me to steward in this season? What are you asking me to be faithful with here? And if in this season for me, it's motherhood, I'm cleaning diapers and wiping noses, like it might not be as glamorous, it might not be as impactful as, like, in my mind, as someone who has the large audience. But if I'm being faithful to what God has called me to do in this season, then that's all that matters. Like,
yeah. And I think it helps with the fear component too of doing things, because I feel like sometimes when you're thinking about others, it's like, oh, what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that. But if your anchor is really, I'm just obeying God, then is there any fear in like a black or white thing? And if God gives you the grace to obey him too, then there isn't really much room for fear. Obviously it's there because we are in a flesh body, but I think it's a good reminder. So I have a question for you. How does one stay hidden well? And why should we want to be obscure? Like, why, like, validation feels great. So why shouldn't, you know?
How does one stay hidden well? I'd say one tip is asking God to give you his perspective of the season that you're in. And then not craving a season out of season. I'm very big on that. It's hard, but like if I am, let's say I'm on mat leave right now, which I am. Mat leave has its own challenges. But if I'm like looking to the next season, I mean, like, oh, I just can't wait to go back to work because I won't have X, Y, and Z. That season is going to have its own challenges. So not craving a season out of season, whether that's like you are like being obscure and you, or you're in obscurity and you want to be seen, or you're seen and you want to be in obscurity, like not craving a season out of season. I would also say, just like checking, asking God to check the motive of your heart, like that scripture that says, search my heart and know me and see if there's any
pathway in me that offends you.
Yeah, different translations. See if there's any pathway of pain I'm walking on. Keeps you really like humble and like lowly, because it's like the blessed are the poor in spirit.
We were in sync today is so weird. Like, I was literally just thinking that, and so many things you said already. But anyways,
spirit is one. Yeah. Are these my socks?
Okay, can we stay focused?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Is that it?
I think it's inherit the kingdom of God. Do you want to check?
No.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
You want to check or you
don't? No. Okay. So I'm just saying that like the revelation of like how desperate you are for God, I think is a good place to be. And I think sometimes when we see the ugliness in our hearts, we can be like, ew, like, oh, I thought we dealt with this.
I thought I was
What? I've been a Christian for how long? And I'm still dealing with pride, and I'm still like, and it can be quite like discouraging to see that there's this gunk still there. But I think that makes us more aware of how much we need Jesus. Like, and there's no better place than to be at the feet of Jesus. Just like, Lord, I can't do this without you. I can't even want the right things without you. So I'll say that. And your other question was, why should we want to be hidden?
Yeah, because, yeah, I think
when validation feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
like I said, there's obscurity is a gift. The season where God is hiding you is like a mercy to you or to us. And I think when you see it like that, while the validation is nice, like that awareness of the gunk that's in you, sometimes I'm like, Lord, thank you. Like the more I even see what people who have the platform have to deal with, the more I'm like, Lord, please hide me for as long as you need to hide me. Because I don't know that I could deal with this. I don't know that I have the thickness of skin. I don't know that I have the strength of character to deal with like all these like blows and real opposition that you get when you are literally on the front lines and you are visible and you're like, you have the platform and you have the audience. Like there's so many things I can get away with now. And so I'm like, Lord, hide me for as long as you need to hide me. Like, may I not crave the spotlight or crave the stage or the platform before I'm ready for it.
That's how people fall away.
And I feel like even I've noticed that the people who I've seen have like a real healthy fear of the Lord, even when they're on the platform, they almost still have like a Lord, like, I don't want this if you don't want it for me. Like, there's not a desire to be front and center. It's like, hey, I'm here because you want me to be here. And the minute you don't want me to be here, I'm gone. Because I know how quickly this can get to my head. I know how quickly I can start to crave this validation more than I crave validation from you. So I think there's a work that happens in the hidden place that keeps you hidden even when you're in the public place.
And what you were saying just now, I was thinking of a picture because this whole conversation reminds me of father, son, father, daughter, whatever. But it also reminds me of a garden, and you used this already, but I'm thinking us in the staying hidden is a seed in the ground. And in our impatience, we can put all these fertilizers, GMO, whatever.
It's not GMO.
It's true. And then the tree, whatever, grows really fast. And it's like, yes, this is what I wanted. And this is all in the same vein as fame. This is what I wanted. But in the grand scheme of, will this fruit stand the test of time? Maybe not. Maybe this fruit is going to go bad in 2 days, like those stupid spotted bananas. But if it's God with his green thumbs and how the tree is supposed to grow and the water and the care and everything, that fruit is going to be exactly how it was intended to be. It's not going to rot out of season. It's not going to fall away. And I think it's so important to just, that's an important reason to stay hidden.
And building on your analogy, not just will it be fruit that will last, it will be fruit that can benefit the body. Because it's not just for us. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. It is to
everybody. But you don't say that if nobody eats the fruit.
No. I'm saying like what God works on you in the hidden areas of your life. Girl, not you rolling your eyes. I'm not talking about an audience. I'm talking about like the patience that you grow in that season. Like your sister can benefit from it. Your mother can benefit from it. Like, so like, you as an individual are now better able to be edifying to the body of Christ, which is part of why we do what we do.
Don't let me pull your leg, sister. I was joking, but that was really good. That analogy eats.
Yeah, good job.
But yeah, you had one more point about why did you no. about why you should stay want to stay obscure.
No, I think I was done.
And I think that was a beautiful analogy to wrap up this episode.
It was. Yeah. Do you want to pray?
Do you want us to pray?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this conversation. I thank you for being in this space with us, being in this room, being in the digital space, Lord. I thank you for just keeping us humble, Lord, because at the end of the day, it's all about you, God. From you are all things, and to you are all things. And I pray that you just keep us in a place of poorness in spirit, that we may fix our eyes on things that are not seen. We may fix our eyes on eternity. And I just pray that you remind us of your love, you remind us of your magnitude, and that you'd give us the fear of you, the reverence of you, that we need to trust you and to love you as we should, God. And I pray that you would be our one true desire.
Yes, Lord.
And I just ask that you would take up the space in our hearts and help us to surrender our idols to you, Lord. Because at the end of the day, everything else passes away, but you are forever. Mm-hmm. I pray that you'd help us to know this truth, not only in our heads, but in our hearts, and to believe it with everything that we are. And we love you, Lord, and thank you so much for this episode that we all clearly, me, Murwa, and whoever is listening, need to reflect on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye. Bye.